Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Welcome back to Osho Radio. We start the new year with relaxing music and a discourse by Osho about truth and experience. Truth cannot be defined, Osho says. It can only be experienced. Just sit back and relax and enjoy this 1 hour of meditation and music just for you. Today's discourse is from the series The Book of Wisdom, Volume 1, Number 10. The questioner asks Osho the definition of truth. It is impossible to give such a definition, Osho says. Truth can never be defined. You have to live it, to love it, to go into it. You have to go into the experience to know it.
The second question. Bhagwan, because I am only a beginner in the search for reality, could you define for me the four terms? Truth, God, spiritual, fact. If you are only a beginner in the search, please come back. Don't go ahead. Don't become more of an expert in a spiritual search, because the experts are the losers. Don't become more knowledgeable. Become more innocent. Drop all that you know. Forget all that you know. Remain wondering, but don't transform your wondering into questions. Because once the wonder is changed into a question, sooner or later, the question will bring knowledge, and knowledge is a false coin. From the state of wonder, there are two paths. One is of questioning, the wrong path. It leads you into more and more knowledge. The other is not of questioning, but enjoying. Enjoy the wonder that life is, the wonder that existence is, the wonder of the sun and the sunlight and the trees bathed in the golden rays. Experience it. Don't put a question mark. Let it be as it is. Remain ignorant if you ever want to become enlightened. Remain innocent, childlike, if you ever want a communion with existence and reality. Remain in wonder if you want the mysteries to open up for you. The mysteries never open up for those who go on questioning. The questioner, sooner or later, end up in a library. The questioner, sooner or later, end up with his scriptures, because his scriptures are full of answers. And answers are dangerous. They kill your wonder. They are dangerous because they give you the feel as if you know, although you know not. They give you this misconception about yourself, that now questions have been solved. I know what the Bible says. I know what the Quran says. I know what the Gita says. I have arrived. You will become a parrot. You will repeat, but you will not know. This is not the way to know. Knowledge is not the way to know. then what is the way to know wonders? Let your heart dance with wonders. Be full of wonders. Throb with it. Breathe it in, breathe it out. Why be in such a hurry for the answers? Can't you allow a mystery to remain a mystery? I know there is a great temptation not to allow it to remain a mystery. Reduce it into knowledge. Why? This temptation is there because only if you are full of knowledge, you will be in control. Mystery will control you. Knowledge will make you the controller. Mystery will possess you. You cannot possess the mysterious. It is so vast. And your hands are so small. It is so infinite. You cannot possess it. You will have to be possessed by it. And that is the fear. Knowledge you can possess. It is so trivial. Knowledge you can control. This temptation of the mind to reduce every wonder, every mystery into a question is basically fear-oriented. We are afraid. Afraid of the tremendousness of life. Of this incredible existence. We are afraid. Out of fear, we create a small knowledge around ourselves as a protection, as an armor, as a defense. It is only cowards who reduce the tremendously valuable capacity of wondering into questions. The really brave, the courageous, leaves it as it is. Rather than changing it into a question, he jumps into the mystery. Rather than trying to control it, he allows the mystery to possess him. And the joy of being possessed. And the benediction of being possessed is invaluable. You cannot imagine what it is. You have never dreamt about it. Because to be possessed by the mystery is to be possessed by God. You say, because I am only a beginner. You are fortunate that you are only a beginner. There are many who have become experts. They will have to come back home, and it is going to be a long and long arduous journey. They have accumulated so much knowledge that dropping it is going to be a difficult task. If you are really a beginner, be happy. You have not gone far away. You are just beginning. Come back. There is no need to define these beautiful words because they are not words only. You want me to define truth. Do you know? Has anybody ever defined truth? Is it definable at all? What is a definition? A definition means a tautology. you put the same words in a different way. What are your definitions, in fact? Synonyms. Just look into your definitions and you will find you have been paraphrasing. But how can paraphrasing define? The second thing that you think is the definition in its own term needs another definition. Either definitions are tautologies or just stupid. For example, ask what is mind, and the knowers, the knowledgeables say it is not matter, and then ask them what is matter, and they say it is not mind. What kind of defining is going on? Mind is not matter. This becomes a definition. Matter is not mind. This becomes a definition. Both remain indefinable. You have not defined anything. You have simply sifted the problem from one place to another. You can befool only fools. And truth means the whole that is, the total, all that is. How can you define it? It is unbounded, infinite. Definition means drawing a line around it, locating it, saying this is it. But there is no way to define truth, because there is no way to draw a line around it. It is infinite. It is eternal. It has no beginning, no end. The people who have tried to define truth, they say, truth is that which is, but that is tautology. The question remains the same. The mystery remains unsolved. Truth is that which is. What have you added? Have you made it a little simpler than before? You can call it that which is, or you can call it truth, or you can call it God. But you are simply using names, words, labels for something which is basically indefinable. Truth cannot be defined, although it can certainly be experienced. But experience is not a definition. Definition is done by the mind. Experience is done by participating. If somebody asks, what is a dance? How can you define it? But you can dance and you can know the inner feel of it. God is the ultimate dance. You will have to learn ecstatic dancing to experience God. God is the dance where the dancer disappears. Then the experience arrives, showers on you. And you know But that knowing is not knowledge. That knowing is wisdom. Truth cannot be defined. Yes, it can be lived, experienced. You can love, live, be, but definition is not possible. If you want definitions, you will have to go to a university. Professors define what truth is. And each professor of philosophy defines in his own way. And there are millions of definitions, and all false. No definition can ever be true. I am not teaching philosophy to you. I am sharing my truth with you. Don't ask for definitions. If you have the courage, then take a plunge into the experience that is made available here. Take a jump into meditation and you will know. Still, even when you know, you will not be able to define it. And you ask, what is God? That is another name of truth. The lover's name. Truth is the name given by the meditator to the totality. God is the name given to totality, to truth, by a lover, by a devotee. Both the arrows point to the same phenomenon. But the lover can't think in terms of abstract words. Truth is very abstract. You cannot hug truth, or can you? You cannot kiss truth, or can you? You cannot say hello to truth. You cannot hold hands with truth. Truth is impersonal. It is the word given by the meditators who does not want to bring any personality in it. God is out of love, a personal relationship with existence. The lover wants to say thou. The lover wants to say hi. The lover wants to have a communion, a dialogue. It is the same totality. But the lover makes it personal. Then truth becomes God. And you ask, what is spiritual? To be in relationship with truth or God is to be spiritual. Remember, to be in relationship. Not to talk about spirituality. Not to follow a certain creed, dogma, church. But to be in direct, immediate relationship with existence is spirituality. To be in tune with the whole, to feel the harmony and the joy and the celebration of seer being here, that is spirituality. It has nothing to do by going to the church or to the temple. It has nothing to do by reciting Quran or the Bible or the Gita. It has nothing to do with any kind of worship ritual. But it has something to do with communion. Communion with the trees. Communion with the stars. Communion with the rivers. Communion with all that is. Communion with this multidimensional expression of God. Having a dialogue with the whole. It needs the quality of mad love, then you are spiritual. Spirituality is not a head trip. It is a heart-to-heart dialogue and ultimately a being-to-being dialogue. And the fourth, you ask, what is a fact? Fact is the truth looked with unawareness, looked with blindness, looked with closed eyes, looked unintelligently, unmeditatively, then truth becomes fact. For example, you come across a Buddha. If you look at him unconsciously, he is just a fact, a historical fact, born on a certain day and is going to die on a certain day. He is the body that you can see with your eyes. He is a certain person, a personality. History can take note of him. You can have a picture of him. But if you look not with unconsciousness, but with great consciousness, with awareness, with great light, silence, then the fact is no more there. There is truth. Then Buddha is not somebody who is born on a certain date. Then Buddha is somebody who is never born and is never going to die. Then Buddha is not the body. Then the body is just an abode. Then Buddha is not the confined being that appears to you. Then Buddha represents the total, the whole. Then Buddha is a ray of the infinite, a gift of the beyond to the earth. Then suddenly the fact has disappeared. Now there is truth. But history can take no note of truth. History consists of facts. In India, we have two different systems. One we call history. History takes note of the facts. Another we call Purana, mythology. It takes note of the truth. We have not written histories about Buddha, Mahavira, Krishna. No. That would have been dragging something immensely beautiful into the muddy unconsciousness of humanity. We have not written histories about these people. We have written mythologies. What is a mythology? The mythology is a parable. A parable that only points to the moon, says nothing about it. A finger pointing to the moon, an indication, an arrow, saying nothing. Go to a Jaina temple and you will be surprised. You will find 24 statues of 24 great enlightened masters, the 24 Tirthankaras. And the most striking thing will be this, that they all look absolutely alike. This is impossible. There are not even two persons absolutely alike in the world. Not even twins are absolutely alike. So how it was possible 24 Tirthankaras? And the time span is big, thousands of years, and exactly alike? This is not history. These statues don't depict the real persons. No, not at all. They are not pictorial representations. Then what they are? They represent something of the inner. They represent something of meditativeness. They represent something of the inner stillness, being. Those 24 statues are just representations, visible representations of something which is invisible. Sitting before those statues, if you silently go on watching, you will be surprised. Something inside you starts happening. The form of the statue is an objective art. It synchronizes with the inner form of your being. The posture of the statue synchronizes with your posture. If you sit in the same posture, erect spine, half opened eyes, just looking at the tip of your nose, doing nothing, as if you are also a marble statue. All white, within and without. Then you will know that you are not facing ordinary statues. You are confronting great symbols. This is mythology. Mythology is bound to be poetic, because only poetry can give few glimpses of the unknown. It is said that wherever Buddha will move, trees will start blooming out of season. Now this is poetry, pure poetry. It has not happened as a fact. But this shows something. There is no other way to say it. It says whenever Buddha is contacted, Even trees start blooming out of season. What to say about man? It is said, wherever Muhammad will move, in the desert's heart, sun, fire everywhere, a small cloud, a white cloud, will go on moving on him, just to give him shade like an umbrella. This is poetry. Beautiful. But it is not a historical fact. A man like Muhammad is protected by existence. A man like Muhammad is in every way cared by existence. One who has surrendered to existence is bound to be cared by existence. One who has trusted totally, how can existence be uncareful about him? To say this metaphor of the clouds just hanging over his head wherever he will go. Jesus dies on the cross and then after 3 days is resurrected. This is poetry, not history. This is not fact, this is truth. It simply says, those who die in God and for God, they attain to eternal life. Those who are ready to die for God are resurrected on another plane of being. They lose the physical body, but they gain the luminous body. They are no more part of the earth, but they become part of the sky. They disappear from time, but they appear in eternity. But all the religions have been trying to prove that these are facts, and in trying that these are facts, they have simply proved that they are fools. These are not facts. These are symbolic truths. Whatsoever you see around you is a fact. You see a tree, a green tree, full of sap, flowers, it is a fact. But if you meditate and one day suddenly your eyes open to the real, and the tree is no more just a tree, but the green of it is nothing but God green in it, and the sap running through it is no more a physical phenomenon, but something spiritual. If you can see one day the being of the tree, the God of the tree, that tree is only a manifestation of the divine, you have seen the truth. Truth needs meditative eyes. If you don't have meditative eyes, then the whole life is just dull, dead facts, unrelated to each other, accidental, meaningless, a jumble, just a chance phenomenon. If you see the truth, everything falls into line. Everything falls together in a harmony. Everything starts having significance. Remember always, significance is the shadow of truth.
We are almost at the end of the program. There was music before the discourse by Kalyan, a piece of music called Asamat from his CD Soul Weaver. Then you heard Miten and Premal with their song Silent Garden from the CD Blown Away. After the discourse, Amarish and Hari Prasad were playing their flutes from the CD Now. And the last song is by an Italian sannyasin called Vedant Anando, and the song is called Falling Upon from his CD Adina. Goodbye, everybody. Start your plans for the new year. Take care and namaste.
Falling upon.